Now, we've always had a real strong art scene here in Grand Rapids. At times, it's been more under the surface than others. And for the last few years, I'd say it's one of the first things people bring up when they talk about Grand Rapids. What do you feel that's brought it to the point where the art scene is kind of a dominant part of our culture here? And for some, would say is, you know, pretty much been a conservative city for a long time.
Well, I think the thing we've learned the most over the years is the thing that never left downtown was the art and the artist. We were all a part of it. We were all part of the rebuilding and the rebranding of the city's image. A lot of people left it to die, to be honest. They ran out. I was a part of that culture in the 1980s where a lot of these buildings were empty. They were scary times. You could literally bowl a bowling ball down the street and play bowling if you wanted to. And there was a lot of things that happened in the street because no one came around. The police never came around. We had raves in abandoned buildings on Division Avenue, where Avenue of the Arts is today. Many of us have broken into the buildings in a kind of an urban X, explore, look at some of the things that how, you know, like we do now with Detroit, and look at the images. A lot of us would spend time going through these old buildings, seeing the remnants of a history that used to be there. During that time, the artist did a lot of things that we see happening, like places like Free Radical Gallery, in the sense that we would host events within the raw spaces that many of us called home. One of them specifically, I think one of the leaders of that time was a gentleman named Nate Nearing, who would bring a lot of his clients. He was a photographer, but he would bring his Steelcase clients downtown, and they would just be like, oh my gosh, we can't venture any further than Fridays at Woodland Mall, because anything else downtown is going to be crazy, it's going to be risky, but they love the thrill of it. And I think that thrill of the art scene is what's kind of propelled us forward and propelled a lot of the artist community and a lot of the artists who have called Grand Rapids home, is the fact that the city was an open, it was almost like a blank canvas in many ways to begin to change the city in the image we wanted to live in. And so the artists really did advocate for a lot of things to happen here. And through that, that momentum builds over time. And who, you know, who doesn't go to an art gallery and feel some sort of excitement? Because you're seeing something fresh and new. It's not, they're not coming in and they're not bringing you a CVS, which looks like every other CVS. When an artist brings something to your community, they're bringing something usually fresh, new, exciting. And with that comes using an audience.
I think another thing that's been really pivotal is the artists who are growing up in the 80s and 90s, and early, even the kids who are growing up in 2000, they are really exposed to urban culture as something that's attractive and interesting and fascinating to them. And so cities are less scary maybe than they were for people growing up in the 50s and 60s and 70s. I think that it sort of has changed the tide. It's made the downtown the place to be. And so for those artists and venues who have continued to stick around, be a part of the downtown, you know, revitalization, there's a whole new audience of artists who are really attracted to the setting as well as the work that's being created in that setting or that's finding a home in that setting. And I think that that has played a huge role, especially when we're talking about trying to retain talent and keep people in Michigan. That audience really is interested in a vital urban core that has lots of activity.
And I think that's where, you know, the Avenue for the Arts got it right, is I think you have to, at some point, the organicness has to be organized. Like, you have to have leadership step up and say, okay, there's something we can build here that's going to have the best interest for this community at heart. And I think that's where the Avenue has really stepped in and been very deliberate and purposeful. And what we've seen happen with creating this community and giving them a place to live, giving them the opportunity to live and work in those spaces. For a lot of us, it was illegal back in those days to live in your space, even though places like UICA, when they were over on Sheldon Avenue, they would, not Sheldon, excuse me, but in Ray Street, way back Ray Street, artists who would get a studio there, and these were like basement. They were like something out of the, you know, Silence of the Lambs, like Saw movie. It was scary at night down there, but there were artists who were secretly living there because that's what they could afford back then. But I think now having the opportunity to see zoning laws change and everything and such where the artists can live, work, experience with the community in such a way with the public that it's really kind of helped create the way people look at artists in our community as well.
Right. Now, I know that there's some who feel, you know, Art Prize has been a strong driver of the art community here. And I know there's strong feelings on Art Prize across the community. Some love it, some not so much. How do each of you feel about the impact that it's had one way or another?
Well, I can start on that one.
Newbie, go first.
I think it's good and bad in different ways. I think that it's good for people to get out there and have something else to do. I think it brings up a lot of questions. I think they've definitely grown in some great ways, bringing in the juried awards, kind of having a little bit more experience behind where the money is going, which is an appeal to me. But it brings people downtown. It brings people to art, and it gets the conversation started.
Sure.
So,
Tony, you want to go next?
Well, I think, you know, anything that puts a focus on art, I believe, or on the idea of the creative process is really important. Mm-hmm. And for the pluses, like bringing the guest speakers in, like the guest jurors, to have them give a lecture, those things are important. However, I feel these things were already happening here as well. So it's not like they've reinvented anything for us or created something really that new. I feel a lot of ways it's like a co-opting of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one of those people that are really like an anti-Art Prize person. I know
Right. Sometimes
I'm negative.
But I agree. You saw that wave happening before Art Prize took place.
Right. Art Downtown was already happening.
Yes.
You know, there were so many other things that were already happening on a smaller scale. If anything, the failure of where we are today as artists, I think, is the fact we've not thought as big as we could have, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we also don't have also the resources, the means, the financial stuff that come with what made Art Prize happen. Millions
mm-hmm.
of dollars make it happen. I think what's nervous for me is I love the people coming into the city.
Mm-hmm.
I love a lot of the art that I do see. I love that venues now bypass the crowd. I mean, I love this and I don't love this. I love that the venues have figured out that they have to jury in these shows that they do and then get their artists registered. Many of them do.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of surprise artists that can rise up because usually these are the big venues that do this. What I'm really fascinated with is how is this sustainable into the future? And I don't mean like how is it going to pay for itself, because I mean, they have a big building and they've got, you know, marketing costs that are really expensive to do what they do. But what I'm concerned about is if they're going to sustain, what might be lost in that funding gap if we aren't seeing an increase in the arts
mm-hmm.
funding coming forward, whether it's federal, state, local. You know, is there a need to do like an Art Prize tax? I hate the word tax, but I mean, you know, if we really are capturing that much money in the downtown area, then I'd love to see a study. Are people now that own these businesses that are benefiting so greatly, are they reinvesting those dollars back into these arts institutions that really make all this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say I'm concerned about this is because when I look at who has been partners in the past and had their doors open, like places like the Public Museum, and now, the year before, they went to strictly exterior work because they couldn't afford the fees to pay the staffing, the security, everything that comes with keeping it open.
Mm-hmm.
That concerns me. But the other thing that concerns me is now all these institutions are all in competition with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that all these things can coexist without us losing ground in our community
right.
and still being able to allow things to grow? Like, I would love to see how Site Lab is going to emerge. We still, while we have UICA, and we have places like the DAC, there is room for a third venue mm-hmm. in the middle, like Site Lab, to emerge as a new space that would not only give showcase to local artists in a new way,
mm-hmm.
but do it in a very, very raw space that they have there,
mm-hmm.
but welcoming artists on the outside.
And sure.
Site Lab has done a great job of putting us on the international map.
Oh, absolutely.
With the aid of being in Art Prize and also the things they've done over the years. But I think that we have to look at sustainability, not just sustainability of, like, is Art Prize viable, but is sustainability for our whole arts community really
mm-hmm.
something we're gonna see, or are we gonna have to give up something
sure.
in order to have the other?
Sure.
I think to riff on what Tommy was saying, that one of the biggest challenges that I see in Grand Rapids is building this economy of art, and that we run into Art Prize once a year, and there's so much preparation that goes into that. I mean, institutions start talking about it as soon as it's done the year before, how they're going to plan for it, how they're going to staff it, how they're going to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, it makes it so that from the public perspective, Grand Rapids is a great place for art and artists, but a lot of those artists are coming in from other places. They're spending an exorbitant amount of money to come here, to bring their work here. The local artists who are here are definitely living at, if they are living, making their money off of their artwork completely, they're living at sort of a low wage rate. A lot of them are living slightly above poverty. And so if we're looking at how Art Prize affects Grand Rapids, I hope that in the long run, we do look at alternative funding sources for the arts in Grand Rapids. Seeing that Art Prize is a great economic development tool doesn't mean that it's really creating this economy of art. And I hope that it starts a conversation sooner than later about how we might be able to create new funding resources for the artists who are here 365 days a year, how we might use Art Prize and leverage that as the creative community to start a conversation about some of those issues in a more broad base. Because I think for everything that we could be critical about with Art Prize, it brings in a new audience and it has a marketing budget that's definitely by leaps and bounds substantially more than any other small sort of locally formed arts related event. And so we're kind of looking at ways that we can utilize Art Prize to expand audiences across the board, and I hope that we really learn how to do that a little bit more effectively.
One thing that you mentioned, Jen, as far as these artists being able to sustain themselves, I mean, we got a lot of folks in a lot of different mediums that they're creating, but how are they able to successfully sustain themselves here? Can they do it here in Grand Rapids?
I think they're scrapping. We call it.
It's very tough.
Yeah, we call it the grussle. It's where you mash up your grind and your hustle and try and make ends meet there. You know, so whatever you're doing on a daily basis.
That's the soundtrack to the hot grussle.
That's the grussle groove right there. That's the right you got you. Something to do.
I know.
Doing.
I just start humping. The chair's moving.
So I think a lot of artists they're not making a living off of their artwork solely. Grand Rapids is a great home base. The artists who are doing it effectively are looking at markets in other places. Mm-hmm, they are selling outside of the city. They're using platforms like Etsy to kind of get the word out. And I really hope that we're able to create a blue-collar artist community here. That's what I'm the most interested in seeing created.
And I think playing off of Jen's comment is really true. These tools that we have now, like Etsy and other sites where you're able to sell your work, does really and indeed benefit and help supplement. But what often drives that is that, like she said, the ability to make a living here as an artist or to be supportive from your community. When you have a very successful event that brings in so many people and the first thing they talk about is how much money it brings in the community, the artists locally begin to get very resentful because they're already paying to hang their artwork, which is very different than any other gallery setting for the most part when you would, unless you're entering a contest, which I know you are, but the amount of money being asked of the artists and yet the money that's going back into the pockets of the people who are also paying for their venues to be featured, there's no money really going back in the artists unless somebody actually secures your work.
Right.
And hopefully not Ripley's, believe it or not. But the other thing I was just going to mention about this idea of the artist and being paid is that it's also at the top of those companies that we work with that they have to know the value of what an artist brings to your community and why it's important to support them, not just to go to an auction and buy their work on discount. I don't give to any auctions but one or two a year now, because otherwise I'm sending the message that my work can be bought on discount if you just hang out at the right venues and the right art gallery openings, or not gallery, but
fundraisers.
Thank you. The other thing I think needs to change too is that we have a lot of conversations about how badly the creative person is needed in your culture, and yet I've been on projects even with leaders in this community that I would think would get it, when it comes to a line item where a creative person who has studied and went to school here, is doing the work professionally, is asked to do it for free, mm-hmm. or is asked of the people producing an event, like I've done over the years, to just get a student to do it. Well, mm-hmm. there's an inherent problem there. We're sending the wrong message.
Right, right.
We're sending essentially that, you know, you can't make a living here because you're just going to, your degree means nothing. So I don't do that anymore. I've stopped doing that.
Right.
I'll ask people to say, look, if we offer an advanced degree in our community, then that line item is going to get paid just like the lawyer would,
sure.
the scientist would, legal. Everybody has to get a little something.